Live from Stadium Swim at Circa, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Back here, 4 o'clock hour. Welcome in, Reno. This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number, office in Reno, dial 775. Also Vegas, downtown Vegas. And in Henderson, Dustin Sweetelson with us for about 15 more minutes. Already checking the watch. Danny Smythe is with us as well. I had no idea you guys had a connection. I had a question for Danny. He wasn't with me the other day, and I think he got insulted. Let's see if we can insult him again. Does Danny really know anything about baseball? Because you guys are in a fantasy league together?
We are. We are in a fantasy baseball league with some of the dumbest people I've ever associated with.
So then Danny's got a shot.
He team's not doing well, but he does have a shot because the people are idiots in this league.
Yeah, I've dropped in the last couple weeks. For about the first month and a half, I was riding right in the middle of our group, and now I think I dropped to 9 or 10.
Is it unethical if I offer to pay Danny and JVT's entry into our league, but I want whatever I want from their roster?
Is it? Are you serious? Thank God our better half isn't here today. He would run roughshod over you.
Oh, Hill?
Yeah, he is a lunatic and accuses people of improprieties all the time and the fix, and you got to watch trades. I mean, I have a long-standing league, and we're going to move on from fantasy baseball in a second. I have a long-standing league where I'm the commissioner, but I will not, no matter how bad deals are, take a deal down, veto it. But there is a father-son combination, and they make some deals sometimes where I'm like, okay, come on, guys.
I just make the entry bigger then. Make it a big enough number that I don't want to buy up his team.
Well, I'm in another league I think that really works because if you want to bail on the season, like the kid bailed on the season like third week of May, the lower you finish in other leagues, the more you pay. So if you want to tank, you're going to pay.
That's absolutely fair.
Right? Trade for the future all you want, but you're gonna pay a lot more money into the kitty. And the higher you finish just outside the money, you pay less. If you tried and you don't finish in the money, your fee's lower.
One last. This is not a rule in this league, but we used to do anything over 50 roster moves was an additional $1 or $5 into the pot for the winner. Which then makes you want to check your team more and be more
aggressive. Because I hate it with the opposite, where they levy a fee, because then that's actually penalizing the people who really try. That's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
This show is one of... It's the only sports talk show in the country! I love doing that. Let's see other people do it. That has no issue criticizing the athleticism of real athletes, fellow media people. We go at it. We question people all the time. And like I said, I got no idea if Danny can do anything athletically. I don't know if you can. I know we got something intriguing coming up. At Lotus Broadcasting the next two nights at the Aviators games, we've got a first pitch being thrown out by Greg Salerno. Greg's lost weight. I think Greg is 6 foot.
One.
I'll be nice, 325. And he's lost weight. Okay? He's throwing out the first pitch tonight. Hugh, who is a slender man and doesn't age, probably about 6'1 or 6'2, he's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow night. I'm not going to be the one on the show anymore after this. I think Salerno will outperform Q.
Whoa! I think Q outperformed Salerno. Just by how Greg described the last time he threw out the first pitch, I have all the confidence in the world in Q.
I'm going to back Q here.
Okay.
And I've never seen Salerno. I've only heard him on this show.
He's a big fella.
I mean, it's fat crime. I don't love being that guy.
Exactly. Why not bat the bulky guy?
Because I know what we are and what we're not capable of at times. So I'll back Q here. He is the boss, too. I'll kiss up a little bit to your boss.
You don't have to do that.
I definitely
look
don't.
At Danny. Danny was right. Like, right away, he's like, Q!
Also, another little inside information. Greg said that, because he's a lefty, he said that his left shoulder has been bothering him for years. And
he's building a lot of excuses.
And he's considering throwing right-handed.
Oh, my God. You can't do that.
Well, I didn't know that part. and he's kind of a clown.
Yes.
So he'll be willing to take the hit and throw a horrendous pitch. So I may have just done something where I didn't know what he was working on.
Also, forgot to tell you, went to my first Aviators game 2 nights ago.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Distances on the walls are a lie. They're way closer than those numbers on the wall. The popcorn was an 8.2. The turkey leg was a 9.8.
Oh, really?
And the souvenir cup was a great touch. And I thought the view, it was a gorgeous, beautiful stadium. I will be back.
I got more on this. I got more on this because I definitely, later in the show, we got to.
When are you throwing?
That's a good question. Don't get me started.
Afternoon drive host.
Don't get me started.
In the market.
Q is the afternoon drive host on Raider Nation Radio.
But your occasional company is.
Number three. He's a big time DJ on comp, our FM powerhouse. Everyone knows Greg Salerno, right? I'm doing Stephen A. Like, I made him once. Actually, I didn't because he's got his own show, The Arena. Okay. I'm fascinated by the world we live in and the way companies operate. I'll say most of the companies I work for, we worked for the same company for a long time, and this is not a dig on them, but like with most of us at SiriusXM, they kind of run a tight ship. You know, maybe for some of the higher-ups in New York, they get a little frivolous, but they run a tight ship money-wise. I always say about Lotus Broadcasting, incredibly loyal. They don't mess with us, right? But they run a tight ship, and that's how they've stayed to the point where they're not blowing people out every week, right? I don't think the grand plan is like, you know what, too much money, get them out. This DraftKings is fascinating. And you work for them, and you work for them, Danny and Dustin, and now our old friend Damon works for them. And Damon tells me a story about 10 days ago. He's like, I went over to the team building sushi making seminar. I'm like, what a sushi making seminar? What is going on here? This sounds like a wonderful place.
So,
Swede?
Very progressive company. You got to remember, originally like a Silicon Valley type startup, tech company. You got to remember that. So they want their employees to be happy. And Damon, apparently, from what I've heard, is all about the DK culture. He has gone over there for massages and haircuts. There's all sorts of events.
Wait, that kind of trust already for a haircut?
Well, I don't know if he's done the haircut, but there's free haircuts.
Is he doing haircuts?
So I don't.
I might go in.
I don't partake in these because I'm old school.
Yeah,
Steve.
Why don't you? We had Moss on last week, and Mitch, he's like, oh, I don't know.
Shows weakness. Shows that you're soft.
Shows weakness.
If you have time to go in the middle of the day to go make sushi with your coworkers, you're not doing your job.
Dude,
you're not working hard
enough. I think it's a great way to build rapport with the higher-ups. They put these things together. They want to see people there.
See, I think Damon is being the nice new employee, and like he might be checking his emails and asking good questions because I've been there for 9-10 months now. I don't even check my emails because I don't really work with anybody who's actually with DraftKings. I work for a third party under the DraftKings umbrella.
They've got freebies in their team building. Go take advantage of it.
It's a test. If they want to see who's going to take advantage and overuse their resources.
No way.
You go make sushi and go get massages with the other workers who aren't spending their time doing work. I got my head down. I'm grinding. I'm doing the real work.
All of what both of you just said, you're morons. Number two.
Number two.
Sorry, guys. You totally missed the boat. As the old guy who's been around for this stuff, take advantage of it. I didn't give us a good reference point on number two. I got to find the exact job. Nate Burleson is, because he's part of the CBS crew on football. He's part of their morning show, whatever it's called. Was it CBS This Morning?
Thought it was Good Morning America, but I think that's NBC now.
I think that's ABC. Nate Burleson's got yet another job in broadcasting. It's a pretty good job. Every time I see Nate Burleson, I think of one thing, and I'm like this. He came on a show on, remember old Bleacher Report Radio?
Yeah.
Remember Skaggs?
Yeah.
Producer? Tony Skaggs, who's still with SXM. Burleson came on. I think he forgot about the spot. Like, literally caught him out of sleep. Like, he's fresh out of sleeping. And he came on. It was horrendous. And I get so mad at stuff like that. I have not been able to let it go. But I think he must be a great guy. He seems like a really good guy. For you folks in Reno, I'm not telling the story about Nate Burleson to get on him because he's a Nevada guy. His kids are, I think at least one of his kids is on the football team now. It's just one of those, like, first impression. I do an interview with him on Sports Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
He's half asleep, didn't seem to care, but he must be a good guy. And I still have, but I every time I see him, I'm like, man, this guy's really good, I guess. I guess we just caught him on one bad day.
Yeah, it's like Ronald Scandoro, who I went to kindergarten with. He peed his pants the third day of school. He will always be the guy who peed his pants the third day of school.
Swede is a... I want to be careful here. I'm going to go top 20 guest booker in the entire country on Sports Talk Radio. He's awesome. His Rolodex is good. He's got a great demeanor. He can get anyone he wants. Did you ever book someone where you're like... Then you felt like, I just screwed the host. Like something happened. You can't forget it.
We have a lot. Danelle Ellerbe, right after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I know it's not a big name, but I texted him. He came on. I believe the entire spot was 96 seconds. We asked 6 questions. He did not have much to say about becoming a world champion. And then we did 45 minutes on how bad the interview was, which is my favorite thing to do.
Okay.
There have been a lot of them where it's like none off the top of my head.
But by the way, you get what I'm saying? That is someone like the 53rd guy on the right, whatever.
Yeah.
And it just didn't turn out. Like this. Like Nate Burleson's gone on.
No, he speaks for
awesome. And I'm like, I don't know how this happened the first time around.
Yeah, but you have to also remember he's transitioning probably at that point from player to media guy. He doesn't really know the ins and outs. You don't know what the schedule was in his life at that point.
Yep.
But I do agree. Once you give an impression, that's who you are forever until I die.
Danny, what's the book guest at you?
I've actually had two. One of them I booked myself.
Hold on, I got to throw this in real quick. Nate Burleson is hosting Hollywood Squares.
Yeah, it was just announced the other day.
Keep going.
Okay, so I have two. One of them I booked, and one of them was kind of tossed to me during Super Bowl week last year. The one that I booked, Kennedy Landry, the product wasn't bad, but it sounded like she was doing her spot on the side of a very busy highway. There was just cars going. We could barely hear her. Like, I was pushing my headset into my ears trying to understand what she was saying.
Do you have the stones to put up the stop sign and tell Tyler I got to talk to her, and then say, we can't talk to you right now. I'll rebook you. This sounds terrible.
No, I just let them go.
You
got to
do it, man. Griffin, you have full permission to do that.
Sometimes you got to get the spot, Steve.
Comes from the guy who shredded someone for not doing a good interview for 45 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, but that's the bit. Yeah. The bit
well,
is...
the risk is you could really anger your host who didn't agree with your take on it, and they're like, why'd you do that?
Oh, no,
it was
no,
going fine.
I follow the lead there. If the host wants to have fun with it, make fun of it, cool. If they're really bothered by it,
no,
we
I meant
they're
on the spot when it's a disaster.
Oh, we just shake our heads and say goodbye and be respectful until they hang up the phone.
There you go. Quick number one.
Number one.
We'll carry this over, but Danny, you had a story about a Las Vegas magician who went to an exclusive club and then, videoed some of it?
Well, no. So he was invited to be entered into this exclusive magician's club in Hollywood.
We got 20 seconds.
But he also runs, I believe it's a YouTube page, where he buys magic products off of Amazon and shows how to use them. And they're mad that he's giving inside information on kits you can buy on Amazon.
Oh, wow.
First rule of magic club, don't talk about magic club.
Dustin, we appreciate it. We'll come back. Danny's sticking around. We're live here at Circa Las Vegas Stadium Swim. Make sure you listen to Dustin's show with Patrick Maher. Noon every day. Well, Monday to Friday on VSiN.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Danny is helping out today as a company from the morning show, Press Box. Mike. Second half of the show is on the way. More Lakers tickets. We got a pair coming up before 6 o'clock for the exhibition game here, Lakers, Golden State. We shortchanged you on your magician story. First of all, are you a magic guy?
I wouldn't say I'm a magic guy, but I've been to a couple magic shows, you know, the typical Chris Angel on the Strip. I also went to Penn & Teller a decade ago. I'm not a big one.
So why did this story catch your eye?
I don't know. I was looking on Yahoo, as I do occasionally, and I saw it, and it's a local, the magician's from here in Vegas. And I thought it was – I never knew that there was a brotherhood society of magicians.
But now they hate him.
Yes, because he bought kits on Amazon and made videos out of them, and because he's making money doing that, and they say –
He's revealing their secrets, some of them.
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, if you get a kit off of Amazon, the kit's going to teach you how to do it. And he's just making a video with those kits. I don't really see a big problem in that. Because it's something that they're going to see anyways.
I don't know, man. Trust is a big thing.
No, I
get away
that.
People's secrets. Ruin the biz.
Well, and another thing in this article, apparently Penn and Teller are also in this secret brotherhood. And they were originally kicked out. And then they were invited back in when
they
blew up.
Why were
they
kicked out? Did they do similar stuff in the past?
The article didn't say it. Just said they were in the 80s, and then they were kicked out and then invited back in the late 90s. So about when they started blowing up.
Sounds very exclusive.
It sounds
like
it.
What's the guy's name again?
His name is...
Which I should know because he's been here. It says he's been performing around here for like 20 years.
Murray Sawchuk.
Okay.
He's been performing for 22 years. Quite a long time. But yeah,
But now he's ruined his reputation.
Yep, and they have told him that, hey, if you take those videos down, all will be forgotten. You're good to go. You can stay in the club. And he's like, you know what? It's not for me. If I can't do my thing, I'm not staying. So he's keeping the videos up.
You're getting married coming up?
Eventually, yes.
Oh, there's nothing official?
Well, we are engaged. She's going to school right now, and we're waiting until she's done with school because we don't want to mess up her loans or anything like that.
You guys spend time together watching TV?
Yes.
Do you have similar likes, or are you forced to watch stuff you don't want to watch?
A little bit of both. We do have quite a few shows that we watch together, like, you know, The Challenge from MTV, a lot of cooking shows that we watch with my stepdaughter.
Uh-oh.
Cooking and baking shows. My stepdaughter's huge into baking, but then she'll also watch Love Island and all those type of shows where I just sit there and I just make fun of people on the show.
I don't like the baking shows.
Why not?
I don't know. None of them have hooked me. Is there a guy in England? Is it Paul Hollywood? Is that his name? He's like one of the – he's like – feels to me like he's the Simon Cowell of baking shows.
That name's not ringing a bell. I might have seen him and I just don't know the last name.
What baking shows are you watching?
Last night we were watching the Summer Baking Championships. It is. It's hosted by Jesse Palmer.
It's Jesse Palmer. I saw that, and I was like, I don't think I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah.
And then isn't it a bald guy on there? There are certain genres of the cooking shows. I have never watched them. I don't think I was really getting Food Network access on all the different apps, so I fell out with most of those shows. I don't know what I'm watching, what I catch, what channel they're on.
I don't know.
I know the shows I'm watching, but I don't exactly know where they're from.
Right. I don't either. We have access to this website that one of her friends has a subscription to, and it literally has every movie, every TV show, all of that stuff. So we just watch it on there. There's no commercials or anything.
Who reacts the most or talks the most during these cooking shows, you or her?
Probably me.
Like doing what? What do you say?
You know, watching this many seasons, especially like the baking show, they have, you know, like they have winter stuff. Now they got summer, fall, all that type of stuff, all the holidays and everything. So we watch a lot of them. So I start to learn little things here and there. So I'm like, hey, why are they doing this? Or like I've seen them.
Do you ever stand like step back and you're like, why am I saying this?
Occasionally,
like,
because I can't do any of that.
I know.
I judge them.
I catch myself all the time.
Yeah. It's exactly what we do in sports. We judge them, but we can't do what they do.
Whoa, speak for yourself. Yeah, I do it with – so I had my – I usually try to update once a month, like what's in my viewing habits. So my list recently is Clipped, the Donald Sterling Clippers thing. I'm way behind on watching it, but little by little, because I hate the Patriots, and I hate the Patriots. I hate their fans. I dislike Belichick. Brady, I'm kind of warming to. But watching them win, I can't stomach it. But watching the drama is interesting. So I'm watching that. I do watch Top Chef. And now I'm watching this Chow House, which is a cooking show based in Italy. The two judges are really good. Okay. But I often find myself, like, flip. If I yell at the TV one more time, don't make risotto!
Yes.
Because it's a common theme on the show.
Yes, and it takes a while.
It never works.
Never.
And these accomplished chefs try it. It doesn't work. The first lady on the season two of the Chow House, back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Risotto? And then she's the next one. It's a team competition. I'll do the rice. And I'm like, no! And then, but then you catch, you're like, why am I yelling like this is game four of the NBA finals at someone making rice?
One of the things.
By the way, I made rice yesterday, like in a microwave cooker. It was substandard. I can't even make rice the right way consistently. And I'm getting on this person who runs a restaurant because she effed up some rice with like 48 ingredients on it. What is wrong with me?
No, yeah. So my fiance, she's full-blooded Mexican. Her parents are from Mexico, so she's first generation. She knows how to really cook Mexican food and really well. So anytime there's a Hispanic person and they're trying to cook like mole takes a while, and they're trying to do it in like 30 to 40 minutes. She's like, what are you doing? Like, you're writing your own ticket out of here. Stop doing this.
But you respect her enough to, you can accept that
challenge. Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've never made fresh pasta. I am now a fresh pasta expert in terms of yelling at people. It's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. All right. So I mentioned some sports shows, and we're kind of tracking clipped. It's really interesting. We've talked on this show about four football-based shows that are coming up. We're going to get, sooner than later, New York Giants off-season Hard Knocks. Then we're going to see, it's not live, but sort of, because it's week by week as camp is going on. Then we're going to see Hard Knocks Bears preseason. In-season Hard Knocks is going to feature a division. And I don't think the division has been leaked yet. Is there a division in the NFL that you're like, you know what, they need to do it on that division? Do you want the most dramatic? Could it be a bunch of losing teams? Do you want the most competitive?
I either want the AFC East or the NFC North. I just want those two.
Well, they're already doing the Bears, so that might hurt the cause there. But then you'd be following the Bears for the whole season.
Yeah, which I'm okay with.
And you said AFC East?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by that one, too. But I don't want it to be like a Jets and Rodgers takeover, and I'm a Jets fan. I don't want to see it that often.
No, and that's the thing. I want to see a mix of all four.
They did the Dolphins last year.
Yeah.
In season.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, those are really, like, full divisions. Those are really the only ones I want to see.
The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Broncos. It's a lot of intrigue at coach. Antonio Pierce is the, you know, lowest profile, but the other, well, read too. But following, I would love to see Sean Payton chronicled this year because I think it's going to be a disaster. And I don't know what Harbaugh is going to do. I think they're going to be good. I think they can make the playoffs, but who knows?
Yeah, and that seems to be the narrative every year is, oh, Chargers will challenge the Chiefs for the title, and then by week five, they're falling off the wagon already.
Back to those cooking shows real quick to draw a parallel. The show Chow House, season two over season one. Season two, I think they kept in mind personalities along with chefing ability. So there's some real good personalities, and it's a competition where people are eliminated just like every cooking show, but they go in teams. Losing team gets to eliminate one of their people. So there's a lot of games being played and a lot of nastiness, and every elimination, like the first three, and I'm not saying this is like unique to women, the first three people off the show, I shouldn't spoil this. But anyway, people are getting emotional.
Okay.
Right?
That's one thing I never
So personalities understood. Matter. So last year's quarterback on Netflix, that's the fourth show. Quarterback on Netflix. I faded on. Lots of people loved it. Mahomes, Cousins, Mariota. Is wide receiver pretty much guaranteed to not have a fade in it because wide receivers, and we know who the wide receivers are, wide receivers are just different birds from a personality standpoint.
Absolutely. I think there's going to I believe in the trailer that was released today, I want to say it was Amon-Ra St. Brown. He said that, hey, I'm or no, I'm sorry, it was Justin Jefferson. He said, hey, I'm going to show you flashy. Like, I want you guys to see what I can do. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun watching them. It's going to have a whole bunch of dancing after their touchdowns and everything. It's going to be fun. I think that is probably the most lively position in football that you could probably do this around.
Devontae Adams always has some good stuff to say. Deebo Samuel is really interesting, and that's a powerhouse franchise.
I'm curious if we're going to get any footage about Devontae Adams pushing down that camera person.
Possibly. You're right, because it was from last season.
What if that camera person was on Netflix?
That's a good tease ahead. We got to get to what Netflix did with the hot dog eating contest and the controversy.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Halfway point of the Stadium Swim show with Danny Smythe and his company, Cofield, Mateo with the setup here. Nice day, really nice day. A little cloudy, sun's not blistering. It was hot last week. It was 109. What is it today? 103. It's 98 in here. I can deal with that, right? We were talking off the air about Big Fella shirts, so I got one of my traditional Big Fella shirts on, so a little sweaty, but so what? So what, right? You could really torture me and put like 75 hot dogs in front of me and make me eat them all, which I love that contest. Oh, by the way, we got to mention, after 5 o'clock, we're going to react to latest NFL quarterback deal. Absolutely absurd. And I talk about this all the time. Just because there's a guy next on the line doesn't mean he gets to go next in line for a contract, like a big contract. Doesn't mean that he should go to the front of the line. This deal is ridiculous. So that's coming up in just a little bit. NFL quarterback. Young guy. Not going to give it away. So I was actually sassing Griffin during the break because I feel like I was part of a work. And I wouldn't have known about the work if Griffin hadn't sent us a story, which at the time I felt complete shame over missing because I consider myself a competitive eating expert, and I love Kobayashi. Now, fast forward, because I'm going to get to the Kobayashi where I think I got duped. Fast forward, this brouhaha the other day. I don't want to use the word everyone else is using. This beef the other day. This brouhaha between Chestnut and MLE and vegetarian hot dogs and a deal he signed maybe with International Foods. They offered him, MLE did, like $300,000 for the next each year as an appearance fee. I think they had paid him like $200,000, but then he had to be exclusive to the dog company that runs the 4th of July contest. He wants to do vegan dogs. And MLE people said, hey, listen, we already agreed to he's going to do a Netflix thing. We already agreed to do that. So I don't believe Major League Eating's in on this work, but the work is we were talking about how, and this is before all this happened. This is how much we talk about this. We only do this. That MLE had denied us the opportunity to see Chestnut and Kobayashi for like the last 13 years. I think the last Kobayashi 4th of July entry, it finished like 68, 64 and a half, Chestnut over Kobe. So that was 2010. So we could have had this over and over and over and over again, and Kobayashi is still probably the second best competitor, but over money with Kobayashi, sound familiar? They denied us this matchup. And then Griffin sends down line because I was like, listen, maybe the Saudis need to step in and make this matchup possible, like Turkey Al-Sheikh in boxing. And then Griffin sends over a story during the break. He's like, hey, man, I don't know if you know this. Kobayashi retired. I look up a May 23rd story. It's part of a Netflix series. He said he retired. His wife said he has no appetite. He's got real health issues. And now they announce they are going head-to-head, which I know I often look for the negative. It is a glorious time that we're going to get the matchup, and it's out from under the MLE folks. But I do feel like we were getting set up when Kobayashi said he was going to retire. And it's going to be part of the setup moving forward. Like, hey, man, he's pretty much – he's a big dog here. You know, can he stomach a comeback?
Just use all the puns that they have.
Well, they always do. It's exciting.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for it. I'm going to watch it.
I think it's great. I would love to see it on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I still feel like Major League Eating has some back-end money out of this. Like, Netflix had to give them money. But here's the real positive. Netflix is getting into sports. And it's a real positive for the leagues. They're spending money. So they were trying to do their first live sporting event with the fight with Tyson and Paul, but that fell apart. Now it's going to happen in, what, November?
So, yeah, later this year, somewhere around there.
And now we're going to get a hot dog eating contest with the two greats on September 2nd. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm curious what hot dog brand they're going to go with.
Probably not the brand that has been sponsoring.
No.
The fourth. All right, we're going to bring in an expert on fighting, but on missed fights over the years that weren't booked. We're not getting Conor McGregor coming up in less than 3 weeks here in Vegas. We'll find out what the hell is going on with Ryan McKinnell.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, rolling towards the 5 o'clock hour. A lot to get to with the National Football League. More on Luka and his behavior last night and where the Mavs are and trying to make anything out of this series and what's the future of the Mavs. But if you know my sports interest, and we're talking about some of the top athletes in the world here, some of the icons, it's been a bummer of a week. No Caitlin Clark in the Olympics, no Chestnut on the 4th of July with the hot dogs, and now no Conor McGregor. UFC 303 here in Vegas. Ryan McKinnell's in. I need a pick-me-up, Ryan. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you were the first person I thought of, Steve, with the Joey Chestnut debacle, everything that was going on the 4th of July. I know how hard, you know, that must have hit you. So I just want you to know that your brand, your aura, is forever tied to competitive eating. Which, I mean, we know that. The company knows that. Vegas knows that. I just, you know, I just wanted to let you know I was thinking about you, man.
I appreciate that I built the brand. Getting way too worked up about a hot dog eating contest. But we got a payoff. We're going to get the match that we want to see. We wanted to see forever with Netflix and Kobe and Kobayashi and Chestnut. But you know, I wanted to see Conor McGregor fight a couple more times because I find him highly entertaining. Yep. And first of all, tell us what's happening here. Is there an injury? I know there was a whisper about him being out. Why is he out of UFC 303 International Fight Week card here in Vegas?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole situation that we find ourselves in. And when I say we, I mean the UFC. I mean Conor McGregor. I mean Dana White, the media, Steve, the fans, the international fans that are, you know, scheduled to come in for UFC 303 for International Fight Week for this, obviously, this benchmark event. It's so many moving, like, there's so many tentacles that extend into how much this affects, not just right now and into the future. And that's why so much of this, even right up until now, I think most of us understand that Conor McGregor is not fighting on June 29th. It hasn't been made official, but the radio silence, right? And the fact that nobody's talking, I think, speaks to the severity of whatever is going on. In my mind, it is an injury. I don't think Conor McGregor pulls out for any other reason. He does not miss fights. When he signs on the dotted line, the guy does fight. You know, whether it's, if it's in his control, he takes the fight. So it's this really sort of benchmark, hallmark moment for the UFC where things can go one of a couple ways. And for Conor McGregor in his career, it's hard not feeling like, you know, in terms of where it's going, it's downhill. You know, Steve, depending on who you talk to, and I am in the camp, I would not be shocked at all if we have seen the last of Conor McGregor inside a UFC cage or any cage for that matter, or any ring.
If we don't see the last of him, what do you think could pull him out? If he's not able to go forward with this fight?
Oh, I think proving everybody wrong, right? Like, if he doesn't make it in this fight, the noise about him being done is only going to get louder, unless it comes with, like, an official retirement, right? I think his ego and his competitive drive has been enough to, you know, get him to cut to 145, get him to rematch Nate Diaz at 170 pounds when Nate choked him out at that exact weight. When Nate beat him on that short notice fight and took him out at 170 pounds, for those that don't know, Conor's natural weight is 145, or at that time, was. And when Conor lost that, he's so insane, he's so psychotic, he's like, no, I want the rematch at the exact same weight. Like, what? when he beat Jose Aldo in 13 seconds and knocked him out, you know, in a blink of an eye. He didn't even stop long enough to defend the belt. He went up and challenged for the lightweight title against what was supposed to be Rafael Dos Anjos, but it ended up being Eddie Alvarez. He has never been short on challenges and challenging himself. So if he does come back, it won't be for the money. It won't be for the recognition. It will be to say, I'm going out on my own terms. I'm doing it my way, and you can't tell me when I'm done. I'll tell you when I'm done. But the medical, you know, the medical professions at large, doctors, everybody, right? They might be telling him different, because getting your leg snapped in half and trying to come back from that, even with vitamins, even with proper training, it's a large, large ask. So again, this is all speculative, but one thing I think we can all look at and understand is the press conference was canceled a couple weeks ago. Huge red flag, right? The cryptic sort of nature and the reports that we are getting from basically one man in the space, is Ariel Helwani, is saying, you know, it's looking bleak. And I think everything that I'm hearing in regards to that, for the few sources that I put feelers out to, is, yeah, it's not looking good that Conor McGregor is going to fight June 29th. And according to reports, they're just waiting to get it all figured out. They want to have all their ducks in a row before they announce whatever the substitution is going to be on June 29th. But guys, I think you can both agree that there's nothing that they can put together that matches the return of Conor McGregor, despite the fact that Conor McGregor hasn't won a fight, or has only won one singular fight in the better part of 7 years.
Ryan McKittle, SiriusXM MMA expert. You can listen to him on Channel 156. In fact, I did today. You were with R.J. Clifford, and I thought what you just said now, and you went even longer on it, on the whole thing about Conor McGregor, and this could be the end of the road, and, you know, let's not be mad at him. And the guy's, you know, he's laid it on the line so many times for us. He's fought all these big fights, so I like that take. You know, the other part of the story that's interesting is Michael Chandler, once again, is probably going to be denied a fight against Conor McGregor. I feel like he has just kept himself out of action waiting for the big payday. I mean, when is enough enough? And, you know, Chandler just goes, I got to fight someone. And the UFC should make it right. They're not going to get him McGregor fight money, but they got to get him enough money here to make up for these three fights. He's got to fight, right? Or is he going to wait around more?
Yeah. If he does, there is no one that can help Michael Chandler at this point, right? I think everyone, I'm not in his camp. I don't know what he's being told. But you've got to believe at this point, if this fight doesn't happen on June 29th at UFC 303, the fight is not happening. And he has to move on if he still wants to be an active fighter, if he wants to have a career. And he's built some sympathy, right? I think the public, I would imagine even Michael Chandler haters have got to feel bad for the guy. This guy has sacrificed an entire chunk of his prime waiting for Conor McGregor to make up his mind on what he wants to do and how he wants to, you know what I mean, how he wants to handle his career. And you know what's really sad about all this? Chandler's not the only one. I go back 6-7 years ago, when Tyron Woodley was the UFC welterweight champion, he was hoping, he was putting it out there in the media that McGregor would come up and potentially challenge for the welterweight championship. And he was being sort of non-committal on what he wanted in terms of, you know, taking title fights and defending his belt, a rematch with Wonderboy Thompson. He was kind of stalling because he was hoping that McGregor would move up and fight him. There have been three divisions for the better part of 5 years, not so much featherweight, but I think you can throw it in there, right? 155 and 170, 145, 155, and 170 that have been blanketed by this shadow of Conor McGregor and his decisions or lack thereof. Everybody wants this payday, and it's getting people in their own heads, and I get it. You know, I get it. I understand the business of the UFC. If you get a massive payday in front of you, you've got to latch onto that and secure it and do everything in your power because you may never get it again, right? These type of fights do not come around in this sport often. And as we saw with the lawsuit that went to the former fighters a few months back, a huge settlement, over $300 million is going to be paid out to former fighters for, you know, for going after their business practices and the way they do business and their lack of pay and again, their lack of fairness and equity. So all of this hangs over the year of 2024, some of 2023, and it all plays into the psyche, I think, of the decision-making of Michael Chandler. It's paranoid, fear-based decision-making, which is crazy when you think about, and Steve, you guys know this, the type and style that Michael Chandler brings into the octagon, it's anything but those things. But again, Conor McGregor has a way of getting people in their heads and really holding the sport hostage. And I understand again, but it's wild to be living in 2024 because his prime is very much past, but he's still raking in massive gates. And he's, hey, we're talking about him here on this Thursday.
Ryan McKinnell's on Cofield & Company. Danny's got one. We got 2 questions, 2 minutes. So we'll go wrap it on these. Fire.
Real quick, if Michael Chandler did decide to stay in for this, do you think there is a suitable replacement?
Yeah, there is. He's just not in the UFC. And he's a guy that Conor McGregor has fought before, and he's one of the greatest fighters to ever live, and certainly one of the greatest fighters at 155, former UFC lightweight champion Eddie Alvarez. Chandler and Alvarez have fought twice before. It would put a capstone on both their careers. It would give you a legacy fight. It would give you the trilogy in the UFC. Those other fights happened in a different organization. I would be very happy, maybe not as the main event, but if you made Chandler and Eddie Alvarez 3 as a co-main, and then maybe you entice, I don't know, Alex Pereira to come in and put his 2 broken toes aside and try to make some more history as the main event here at UFC 303 against maybe a Jiří Procházka, I would be okay with that. But I would definitely love to see Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler, and I'm sure MMA fans would as well.
Last one, Ryan. I just got a message from Musk and company about a copyright violation. I better get on this real quick. In a related issue, I saw you tweeting about Blockbuster and Circuit City and maybe signs of things to come with Cox. There's a Goldberg.
Oh,
you're next. Are we just talking Google Fiber here? Can you... What's happening? We got about 40 seconds.
I am counting down the days until Google Fiber arrives in the valley.
Doing.
My internet was out 6 days in a row last week and all weekend. Now I got the weekend. I got the month comped, but it's not about money, Steve. I don't care about money. You are a billion-dollar conglomerate. Deliver on your services. You're not some mom and pop shop. It is absolutely ridiculous. And as a 15-year customer who pays over $150 a month, Cofield, there was no remorse outside of, you know, I mean, it took 6 hours for me to get my month comps, but Steve, oh buddy, I'm hot. It has nothing to do with the 100 degrees.
I feel you, Ryan. Great job. We always need more time. We'll get you on soon, and we'll find out. I think, you know, sooner than later, what's going to happen with 303.
Yeah.
But yeah, sad times. I wanted to see Conor McGregor. Thank you, buddy.
Talk soon.
SXM Combat Channel 156. Good programming. Lots of former fighters and opinion guys. And I didn't even get to maybe the most important thing. You know, boxing, I don't think he can pull it off. Boxing is looking at Sergey Alishik as a savior to the sport because he's been able to put a lot of money behind some big fights. Most recently, Fury and Usyk. He has an interest in buying every major boxing promotion and trying to do a UFC-like model with boxing. I don't think everyone will sell. Now, the problem is if, say, 5 of 6 of the heavy hitters sell, the one that's left standing versus 5 under an umbrella is in a little bit of trouble. But McKinnell's take today, when I was listening to his show, was boxing doesn't need to be saved. It's fine. And there was also the other one that I've more than strongly hinted at. You know, the Saudis have been kind of sports washing their image by getting into American sports and spending a lot of money and international soccer. Are we desperate enough as boxing fans or really casual boxing fans where we're like, we don't care who saves it. Just organize it and spend the freaking money.
I don't know.
Tough one, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, there are people who they don't like that Saudis are buying into American sports. They don't want to see it. I mean, that's the biggest problem with LIV Golf is the people who own it and run it. I mean, outside of the old heads.
There's a lot
of
PR issues,
golf,
but I also think golf cares about his image.
Yes.
Its image. I think boxing is like, over the years, like, hey, whatever it takes to put on a fight, get the money, put on a fight, we'll operate in the muck if we need to. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll get to that big quarterback deal that just went out. The new highest paid quarterback in the league. Are you serious with these numbers?